Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
as always, is not a technical issue. It's probably a host issue. I was talking to him for a couple of minutes, and then I realized that I'm on mute. Is that the case? Happened all the time to me. This is not the first time, and I can guarantee you something. Evo is going to happen again. So what I was saying, if I remember correctly, I was saying that today we are going to have a very nice conversation. It is a great professional in supply, logistics, and business in general that is going to be with us today. And she's going to help us answer the question about why 828. It is Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain, and it's a pleasure for me just to be with you. Let us know where you are watching us from. It would be nice to know where exactly are you located and what exactly are the conditions weather-wise, because this is everything is related, but we are going to hear more about that. So I'm going to invite my co-host that she was away for several days. Hopefully she's going to be back and she's going to be renewed, and we are going to engage in the conversation right now. So let's welcome Benita Lee from Canada.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Hey, Benita, how are you? How's everything?
Good. I'm really good. I'm really excited to have our guest today. We've had her on before, and it's a real treat to have Casey.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you reveal everything, right? So Casey Jenkins is going to be with us. She was, by the way, several weeks ago, talking about the LinkedIn influencers, right? In my opinion, I mean, she's one of these LinkedIn rock stars. definitely, in my opinion, she's a kind of influencer in everything related with logistics and supply chain, that's for sure. So we are going to welcome Casey.
Hello, everyone. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Casey.
How's everyone doing today? I'd love to know where everyone's at watching the show, because I know we've got Jose out in California, Benita's in Canada, I'm sorry, and then I'm out in Savannah, Georgia. So love to see where everyone's at.
Yeah. First of all, I mean, we are going to invite everyone for a coffee, right?
Yes.
That's the way to start. I mean, it's too early for me. Well, not too early for me, but it's early anyway. So bring a coffee and help us. All right, Casey. So Casey, you are in Savannah, right?
Yes.
Okay. How is Savannah these days? I mean, is a lot of activity? We start seeing the peak season or not yet?
So Savannah is growing very rapidly, I will say. I did just see a post the other day that I hadn't gotten a chance to kind of dive into looking at yet. But I'm pretty sure that imports were up here. So it seems that people are kind of shifting, you know, their cargo to move through some different locations, probably based on what's been going on out on the West Coast, the labor negotiations, things like that. But I think a lot of companies are starting to realize that other ports of entry are, you know, better for their supply chains. It's more cost effective, efficient to kind of go different routes these days. So
I would assume that you are a little bit biased, but what do you think about the performance of the Savannah Port?
So I've done so many port tours out at the Port of Savannah. I've probably done like 8 in the last like year or so. So I've gotten to see, you know, their operations from a different side. And one thing I will say is that they move very efficiently. They definitely flow the cargo through. They've got systems that conveys information quickly and easily. And I mean, they do a fantastic job. I know a lot of people over there. They're all very pleasurable to work with. They're just nice people. And, you know, they really focus on customer service and making sure that they're providing a good service to everyone who uses the port.
Good. So I was expecting that answer, that's for sure.
Well, it's the honest answer. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I know people over there, there might be some people watching, but, you know, I say that just coming from, you know, my perspective as a consultant and how things should be working, and they do a top-notch job.
And yes, I can verify that. I mean, like 2 years ago, I had a tour and it was very impressive. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah. And they've grown a lot. So they're continuing to expand to be able to, you know, grow their service offering as well to make sure that things flow. So
Casey and Benita, I always do this, right? I always get something that got by surprise people. And I have to apologize, Casey. This is going to be a surprise for you as well.
Okay.
And I don't know. Let's see how that goes. I mean, first of all, if I can get that surprise out. What we are going to be watching following is that it's something that I like it personally because the value that is being bring to the network. And talking about LinkedIn, is something that I appreciate every single week. I'm looking forward every single week to this particular segment. And at this moment, I'm going to share with everyone on the audience. So let's do this.
Hi, and welcome to a special edition of 2 Minute Topics. Today's topic will cover everything you need to know about 828 Consulting. I've been getting a lot of questions here recently about what 828 is, what an execution style consultant is, and how my process works. So let me, Casey, explain it to you with your 2 minutes starting now. Modern problems require modern and forward-thinking solutions. And as we've all seen, there are a lot of problems within supply chain, but really problems are just opportunities to let go of the band-aid fixes, inefficient ideas, and outdated processes, and actually derive solutions that will propel businesses and the industry forward. The supply chain and business landscape have certainly changed throughout my career, and it continues to change day by day. In order to remain competitive, organizations will have to evolve with it. And that's where I come in. Bringing over 10 years of broad experience, a master's in supply chain management, a master's in project management, and a black belt in Lean Six Sigma, I approach improvement initiatives very differently than most. Focusing on a holistic or end-to-end perspective, I identify gaps and inefficiencies at the strategic level to then break it down into the details. In other words, I approach from the top down to develop solutions that close multiple gaps across different functional areas. Now, I know what you're thinking. That seems like a lot of time, money, resources, investment, right? Well, I wouldn't be a true supply chain consultant if I didn't practice what I preached. By taking an educational approach, I provide efficient and high value execution that allows for your needs to be met even after the project is completed. So how does my process work? Oh, come on, y'all. You all knew that I had a process to dive into processes. So let's break it down. Number one, seek. This is the introductory phase where a problem is presented. In a few collaborative sessions, the project scope, timing, and plans are derived, so we're ready to execute when a contract is signed. Number two, explore. Through a comprehensive understanding of both internal and external processes, problems or gaps will be identified and or validated. And number three, ascend. The result, a solution Bible, your book of instruction for best-led execution. This playbook delivers the step-by-step guide on closing the gaps within your organization. Then the choice is yours to implement the solutions in the Bible via your own internal resources or allow me to implement and handle the change management for you. As someone who has never fit into a box, I understand the importance of rowing the boat in a different direction to stand out as an industry leader. So reach out today to get elevated solutions that take your company to the summit.
There you go. Is that amazing?
Yeah, I love the 2-minute topics, really concise. I love how you Casey explain it.
You know, it was so funny because someone had brought that up to me a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was about a week ago now. And I had explained something and he was like, oh, how about you Casey explain it again? And I was like, you know what? Like, that's brilliant. Cause that's exactly what I'm doing is I'm Casey explaining it. So I was like, I'm going to incorporate that into my marketing and everything now, because that's exactly what I'm doing.
I love it.
Now, I'm curious, Casey, how you came out with this particular idea about the 2 minutes?
Yeah, so the whole thing in general, basically, you know, I had been pushed about starting a podcast. You've been pushing me about starting a podcast. And I kind of was like, you know, I saw how a lot of people are doing podcasts these days, and breaking into that market can be kind of difficult. But I saw an opportunity where I know personally for me, sometimes watching podcasts, I'll check out after, you know, a couple minutes. And I was like, why don't I just do something that's like a short 2-minute video that people can just be scrolling LinkedIn, you know, and see it, watch it, and move on with their day without having to go back and, you know, watch an hour later or whatever the case may be. And so one afternoon I was just sitting there and I was like, oh, 2-minute topics. That's it.
And how in advance, I mean, do you prepare that material? I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, it seems to me that it's very well structured, and I would imply that requires some time. So tell us more about that.
Yeah. So when I first started doing these, that's the other funny piece of this is, you know, I watched the videos back at the beginning and I see them now and I'm like, wow, these have evolved a lot over the last 20, I think I'm up to 23 episodes now. Uh-huh. And, but you know, when I first started, I was kind of picking topics that were just in the news, you know, different things that I would see that people were dealing with. Different things that, you know, I've seen in articles or I see in my feed or people are saying are problems. And then recently here, I kind of realized that, you know, diving into how I approach consulting, which is from the process level, and kind of breaking it down to help people understand from that perspective, that might actually be useful to seeing how everything is connected. And so then I kind of started going a different route with it and kind of being a little more pointed with what I was talking about and breaking it down. But usually I write the scripts on Wednesdays, I film on Fridays, and then I drop it the following Monday. So sometimes I'll write them earlier and tweak them. But that gives me enough time. The memorizing part is done while I'm like blow drying my hair that morning. So I try to memorize it right before I have to say it. But I do have a script, so I try to read from my script a little bit if I lose track.
And let me take a guess here. I'm assuming that the production your production team is behind you in that picture.
yeah, Sky and Enzo. They oh my gosh, if there's got to be no other dog out there that knows supply chain like these two do, because they listen to all my script reads. Usually I do a script read on Wednesdays after I write the script just to make sure it flows. I might do another one on Thursdays again just to make sure. Because I write for academia. I do not write for public speaking. And so a lot of times the first write through on these scripts, I'll put words together that should not be put together. And then trying to speak them is like the most chaotic thing ever. So
absolutely. So your dogs are experts in supply chain. Benita, Louis is an expert in compliance, custom compliance. So we are making a team here, right?
I was about to say, pretty soon our dogs will be able to start a company.
Yeah, why not? So you are muted, Benita.
Oh, sorry. I said they can be business partners.
That's for sure. I mean, and they're going to be loyal. That's for sure.
Yeah.
As a business partner that you want. So, Casey, for them that they don't know about you yet, then can you tell us something about you?
Well, that's a broad question.
Go ahead. I mean, we have the time for that.
All right.
I can break it down. Why 828? What's the significance of that?
Yeah, no, that is great. I get that question all the time. So actually, when I was trying to come up with a business name, I wanted something that was important to me and meant something to me. And so it's actually based off of my favorite Bible verse, which is Romans 8:28. And I'm also from Western North Carolina, which has the area code of 828. So it kind of worked out perfect.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So talking about, I mean, I know that we know some brief description about the company. Now, if you have to define your company in one sentence, what it would be?
I would say that I'm an execution style consultant. Mm-hmm. With experience in supply chain, but business consulting is kind of where I target.
Okay. Perfect. Beautiful. Now, this is something that is important, I mean, for all of us, right? The consulting business, basically what it's trying to achieve is optimize the operations from many different companies. Now, the important part is here, the global size market is being valued about $132 billion globally. And that's a number that came out for 2020. So that's very impressive. Can you imagine, I mean, the opportunity that is there for professionals like you, like Benita, like so many others, that not only we have the experience, but also the knowledge about that particular field. And then $132 billion, that's very, very, very exciting. Just to have a little bite on that pie. Now here in the United States, we are talking about almost $60 billion. So, and I don't know if everyone knows it, but in today's DNA, the consulting companies are more popular than before. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately, the experience that we have with COVID, then basically give the opportunity for multiple different companies to search, to look, and to seek that support from those consulting companies. So again, I mean, the opportunity is fantastic. I mean, whether it's going to be here in the United States or all around the world. So if someone, I mean, let's say that I'm going to be a customer of yours. So what is the, I mean, I said, Casey, what is the problem that you are fixing?
Well, there's a lot of problems, but basically I mostly target small to medium-sized companies, and I focus on gaps or inefficiencies in their processes that cause their business to function, right? And so I approach it at a strategic level to identify the gaps more holistically and from more of an end-to-end perspective, focusing on the whole business to then close them, you know, across multiple functional areas. So from my perspective, I'm trying to solve the problem of if you've got a gap in a process, I'm going to be able to close that to make your operations more efficient, more streamlined. Now, one thing I will say, and I've faced this a few times throughout my consulting, but also throughout my career, I've noticed that a lot of companies think that, you know, their end state or what their desired state that they want to get to is like able to happen in just like one jump or one project or one initiative. And, you know, I'm someone who tries to make sure that the companies I work with are aware of the fact that you kind of have to crawl, then walk, then run, right? Like you can't just go from, you know, you've got this idea of where you need to be and you're going to get there immediately. That's not how it works.
Right.
Now, we're, like everyone else and every single company, we have that's not the case, but not everyone knows what is the perfect customer that they are looking for. They're looking for customers, but they don't know what is the perfect customer. So what is your perfect customer?
A customer who has a problem. That's, and it can be anyone.
Let me say something, because many times we don't know that we have a problem.
Right.
So how is that?
Yeah, so I would say any customers who have a problem, who know that they have problems, that would be a great customer for me. But even if you don't know that you have problems, you know, it's one of those things where getting an outside perspective even, you know, it's coming at it from almost, I want to say validating or identifying if you have problems. If you don't think you have problems, I can tell you right now, you do have problems. You just haven't seen them yet, right? They've just not manifested. We all have problems. They just haven't come to the surface. So even if you don't think you have problems, just getting an outside perspective. The other thing that I've noticed with working with different clients or within different organizations is that a lot of times, you know, you're in the weeds and you're in it day to day, that until you get that outside perspective, you don't realize you have the problems.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. Benita, do you think that every single company knows their problems?
No, sometimes you've been doing something for so long that you don't even realize it's a problem. Mm-hmm. It's just the way we've always done it.
Yeah, thank you for that, because that's the classic answer. No, I mean, we have done it like this for many years and everything is working perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is something that in my opinion, and I truly believe that that's my personal case, right? Even though that you have experience, even though that you have, let's say, going through some training and education or whatever the case may be, is still there is room for improvement, mm-hmm. in multiple different aspects. So that happens to our company as well, I would assume so.
Yeah. And that's something like I would definitely challenge people is, you know, if you're sitting there saying, you know, we've always done it this way, it works, it works, it works. I think at that point, it's time to go, well, wait a second, but how can we do better? It's not that what is happening or what people are doing, it may be working, right? But there's always room for improvement. And that's like the continuous improvement methodology, you know, that should float through your head every single time you're looking at things day to day, is how can we make this better? How can we improve this? It may not be right now either. It may be 6 months down the road. It may be a year down the road. But it's thinking in that manner of at some point we are going to have to improve, we are going to have to evolve this. We should always have that train of thought kind of running through our heads.
Now, in everything that we do, we always get a comment from our prospects, right? Why you? Why A20A? What makes you different between, let's say, PwC or KPMG? Or Deloitte, or whatever all these big companies are, or even a mid-sized consulting company. What is that makes you different?
So I would say that for me, it's I'm actually trying to, I go in with the goal of trying to improve, educate, and set someone up for long-term success. You know, I'm not there to sit and drag out a project. I'm not there to sit and, you know, if they have questions, they're more than happy to reach out to me after, right? But I, my goal is to give my clients the tools that they need to where I'm not needed afterwards, right? Like I don't want to have to be needed. I want to be able to help people so they all learn and grow and evolve to where it's pushing the industry and their business forward at the same time. So my goal is also not revenue either. I know how that sounds. And I know someone's going to come at me for saying this, but I'm not driven by money. I'm driven by the passion of pushing this industry forward. And I'm driven by the passion of helping others to grow and succeed, because that's where I find value for myself and for my business.
So that's technically is your vision, right?
Yes, correct.
Perfect. Perfect. So it seems to be that the industry get blessed by Casey and her company. That's good. That's good. Now, if we are talking about, I mean, growing a company, I know for sure, and Benita knows that as well, growing a company is not an easy thing to do. What is the craziest experience that you have had so far growing a company?
You know, honestly, I would say any startup is crazy and chaotic at the start anyway, no matter what you do. So I'd say the whole journey for at least a year, if not longer, is going to be crazy. Uh-huh. But, you know, I sat here and I thought about, like, what are the challenges that I've faced with this experience? And I want to shift that perspective to actually say none of it's been a challenge. I kind of knew what I was getting myself into. I knew how, you know, the startup environment would be. I knew that there'd be a lot of learning. There'd be a lot of fly by the seat of your pants type things. Like that all comes with it, right? But from my perspective, what I've gained out of this thus far is learning. And what I've gained out of it thus far is building a network of people who are actually really supportive, building contacts who are now going to be lifelong contacts and friends and colleagues. And actually learning from other people too, because like that's the one piece of this that I didn't really expect, was how many people I'd get to connect with and learn from to be able to then shape my business. So while it has been kind of crazy and chaotic, and they're, you know, I don't call them challenges, I call them opportunities. While there's been a lot of opportunities to continue growing and evolving, having people who have truly supported and have given me incredible guidance and you know, help with it, it's been a game changer for sure.
Excellent. Benita, do you remember any crazy situation that you have experienced growing your company as well?
No, I agree with Casey. The entire process in the U.S. There's my Canadian accent coming out. The entire process is like a roller coaster ride, and every day there's a fire and you're just putting out fires. Like, how do I do this? I've never done this before. Oh no, is this the point where it's gonna break? Oh, and then you just like fall down, get back up, and keep going again. And pretty soon, you know, it's been a year or 2 years.
Yeah,
2 years.
Now, we're going to do something kind of funny here, because all of us, we have done this at one point, right? So we have started a company. Now, here is the question. What is that thing that you won't do again?
That's a good question for me.
Yeah.
Okay, let me start then, that I have that in mind easily. Something that I won't do again is to try to do everything myself. That's something that I won't do again, because it's always better to partner with someone. It's always better to reach out to people in the same industry, to your friends, to your colleagues, because a partnership is probably the best experience that you can have. Of course, that you have to pick and choose wisely, but you are gonna go faster if you are gonna be partnering with someone. Doing everything yourself, maybe you're going to achieve your vision eventually. if that's the case, but it's going to take you probably twice as much of the time. And then you are going to have a lot of issues in that journey. So that's something that I want to do myself. So now, how about you, Benita?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would partner up sooner. I feel like most of my clients now are actually partners. Mm-hmm. They didn't know exactly what they needed me for, but they knew they wanted to work with me. And so in that became a partnership.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
How about your case?
I would say, kind of piggybacking off of you, you know, learning to leverage the people around you to get the guidance and the help. Because, you know, there are a lot of nuances to starting a business, growing a business, running with a business, that, you know, there's things that you're learning every single day. And if you have a good network around you and, you know, a good support system of people who are going to give you genuine guidance and support, I think that is important. So I would say, kind of piggybacking off of what you said with, you know, making sure that you've got a good network. So that's what I would do. What I wouldn't do is, you know, think that I know everything. Because I don't.
Yeah, we have to acknowledge that part. That's an important part, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay. So those are very good recommendations, that's for sure. Someone that is thinking about, starting a company, that's something that is important, right?
I have another tip for someone, you know, if they're starting a company, because I'm so early into this, you know, I've only been into this for about 9 months now, but full time since March. And what I would say is, you know, don't let your own insecurities or your own head or naysayers or doubters get in your way of what your goals are either. Because that is something that you will face. It is something that you come across, you see it all the time, you know, on social media, LinkedIn, whatever the case may be, of, you know, how you should be doing things or how, you know, where you should be at in life. And what I would challenge anyone who's starting a business is don't let that stuff, you know, bring you down or stop you or, you know, keep you from continuing to push through. Because, you know, I think Benita had said you will hit walls, you will hit speed bumps, but take the approach of it is a challenge, right? It's an opportunity. It's the ability to break through that wall and to do it and then see what's on the other side that you've done and built yourself. So don't let those things and the negativity stop you.
What a great point, Casey. You just had me remember like that moment when, you know, I'd gotten past the 2 years and, you know, got past all the naysayers and all the self-doubt and like all the, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this.
Yeah.
And then gotten to like my third year and then I'm realizing, oh, wait a minute, this is all mindset.
Mm-hmm.
These peaks and valleys are going to occur. It's just my mindset that keeps me in it. So it's like, oh, all I really need, I don't need like to be super smart. I don't need to be super high energy and alpha. I just need to manage my mindset.
Right.
And then I kind of breathed a sigh of relief after that happened.
Yeah. And I would say that's the biggest piece being this early into it, you know, not letting that mindset stop you. And I've had a lot of people where, you know, I get the negativity of, oh, you know, most businesses fail in their first year or this. And it's like, to anyone out there trying to help someone who's growing a business, don't say those things. Come on. Like, you know, it's give guidance that's actually going to be motivating, right? And mm-hmm. and give guidance that's actually going to help them to keep pushing through. Because anyone who has started a business knows what that person is going through. And they, because they've been there themselves, sitting there and saying, like, you know, most businesses fail, or being negative, like, that's not helpful. And they should know that, right? Being a business owner, someone who's built a business themselves. Mm-hmm. So it is a mindset thing, but it's also, you know, for you personally receiving that type of advice, but also the ones giving it, like, be cautious of how you're phrasing things and how you're conveying that to people, because, you know, that could be the make or break of someone's, you know, dream or goal.
Yeah. So really important to surround yourself with people that are supportive. It's so true.
Benita and Casey, thank you. I mean, that is very important. I mean, those reflections and insight, I mean, they're very valuable. And sure enough, many people experience those situations where it's not the positive or is what they need at that moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's normal. I mean, when they provide a feedback like that, is because the feedback is coming from the fear side, right? Mm-hmm. That they experience in everything that they do. That's the reason why they convey something like that, right? But anyway, so the most important is that the strong personalities in these two ladies right here shows that how we should be reacting to that. So thank you for that. So you know what? At the beginning, I was on mute, right? And this is my profile, and I don't know who was trying to tell me that.
Oh, that was me.
It was you, but this is my profile.
I know, you were trying to tell yourself. It's like you're so intuitive that you're telling Jose.
You know that I like technology, right? So I am automated to that level, right? I just realized
that if I meant to type in private chat, but then I typed in comments, and that's how that happened.
Oh, okay. I was surprised. I said, who did this? Because
yeah, that's how the discovery happened.
Who are you? We got Natalia here. Natalia, thank you for joining us. So, Casey, you know Natalia, right?
I do. Yes, I love Natalia. She's great.
Very good. Very good. Who else is here? We got Tim as well.
Yeah. Hi, Tim.
Southern California.
Yes. Yeah. He's my neighbor.
Oh, awesome.
He says it's gloomy. I hope it's not from fires.
Not that I know, at least. Hopefully, that's not the case. I mean, it was very hot in a few days back, but all of a sudden, I mean, it's getting a little bit cold, so which is very strange. But this is the weather that we have these days, right? So who else is joining today? We got Tony.
John White Ford, of course.
Tony is from Indiana as well. I mean, thank you so much for joining us. Of course, we have our dear friend John. John is always providing a very great insight. So definitely,
it's always sunny in Virginia.
Yeah, not all the time. So just wait a couple of months, and it's going to be a different story, right?
I think it's a show. It's always sunny in Philadelphia, and I always think that he's in Philadelphia. So it's kind of like a inside joke with me and John.
Casey, let me see. This is a difficult question as well. But a difficult question is not so difficult for you anyway. So what is that biggest project that you are working on today?
Oh gosh. Well, I actually can't speak on that because I've got an NDA, but I will say it's going to be disruptive. I can say that. It's going to be good. It's going to be disruptive. And the people I'm working on it with are definitely an all-star team, and it's going to be good. That's what I can say.
Oh, wow. So definitely we are going to be looking forward to hear more about that when the time is.
Yes.
Right.
100%.
So talking about the consulting, what is the best way? I mean, when you are trying to profile clients, what is the best practice that you use when you are doing that?
Yeah. So I would say, honestly, I try to approach clients with the mindset of let's try to find that what the gaps are and what I can help you with. The other piece of that is if I can't help a client with something, I know so many independent consultants. And, you know, I was actually going to bring this up when you had talked about earlier, the rise of consultancy. You know, it is something where there is a lot of expertise out there, and I've had the ability to meet with a lot of people who are doing their own thing, or they've got, you know, a small team, like more boutique type firms. So, you know, if someone comes to me and they say like, hey, I've got this problem, I start looking into it, I realize that my expertise doesn't fit, or I'm not gonna be able to handle it myself, or I need to bring in other people, or it would be better suited, I love to refer. Because, you know, again, I know so many great people with expertise that can be leveraged, and they're fantastic at what they do. And I'll tell you what, if I can't do it, I'm not even going to try to, right? I'm going to leave it to the other professionals who enjoy doing that and have their own businesses doing it. And I'd rather stick to and stay in my lane, I guess.
Okay. Now, it seems to be that at least, I mean, we are doing this from LinkedIn. It seems to be that LinkedIn is a very good platform for everything that we do, right? Is that the case for you and your company? Do you find LinkedIn as a good tool for that, or are you using something different?
Yeah, so I would say that for me, and I know a lot of, you know, small businesses and people out there also use LinkedIn for their marketing. For me, yes, it works great. Mainly because of the fact that, you know, that's where everyone's at from a professional standpoint. You know, that's the target audience of who you're trying to reach is pretty much on LinkedIn. I've dabbled into Instagram. I've dabbled into Twitter with this just to kind of test the waters and see where I'm getting the best return on what my marketing is. But I will say that LinkedIn is probably the best place. For me personally, I find it useful for, you know, I do 2-minute topics weekly. It's a great way to get that out there and to get some eyes on it. But also, you know, I put out posts pretty much daily following those 2-minute topics and discussing the content that was in them. And it's the best way to reach people and educate from that perspective as well, without having to like send an email that's going to get deleted, or, you know, shorten it to where they can't even understand the full, you know, concept of it. So I feel like LinkedIn for me works for what my goals are as a business. But obviously I've dabbled with, you know, Instagram just kind of see, and then yeah, I do have a website where I post the videos as well. And all of my content is blogged on there as well.
And so basically all the material that goes to LinkedIn, I mean, is the value that you add to the network. Do you have in your website a different kind of subscription or VIP access or anything like that that is going to give you different insight, probably more direct contact or information?
Not yet. Okay. It's in the works, but not yet. So coming soon.
there's a lot of surprises coming our way, definitely.
Yeah, hopefully sooner than later.
Now, if you think about, let's say, changing or improving, or I don't know, improving this particular industry that we are in, what it would be that you would like to do? What is the impact that you would like to have? Something meaningful that is going to change in the industry? I know that is a difficult question, by the way.
That's a broad question. I mean, I guess from my perspective, you know, again, this goes back to what the goal of my business is and what my mission is. It's to give people the tools, the knowledge, and the ability to learn and grow. And so if I, you know, end up touching someone's life to where they learn something, if I've, you know, impacted someone to where they want to think differently about, you know, a concept or a process or an approach, you know, then I've done what I've strive to do. You know, I'm not looking to like grow a company to be multi-billion-dollar organization and be known across everywhere. That's not my goal. My goal is to touch someone's life to help them improve and grow as a supply chain or business professional.
Okay. Okay. I do respect that. That's for sure. I like to look for the financial opportunity as well, but that's me.
Don't get me wrong. You've got to still be able to pay your bills, right? But you know, at the end of the day, like I said, you know, I'm here to serve. I have a very servant style leadership. I'm here to serve others, and you know, if they happen to pay me to do something for them, right? Like that's my second thought. My first thought is how can I help? And that's kind of what I go to first.
Yeah. Now we need to go back to whatever we experienced during COVID. What do you think that, I mean, we are exposed to all this disruption all the time, where it is going to be COVID, where it is going to be something else. We are going to be in the same shoes all the time. Why is that we cannot prepare better for something unexpected?
I would say, and this is just my personal opinion on, you know, just from my experience, I would say that a lot of times companies are planning more short-sighted, you know, looking for how to increase revenues, looking to like grow quick in the interim and not really paying attention to more proactive or long-term thoughts. And being more strategic. And so, you know, and I see that right now a lot with how the economy is. A lot of companies are looking for those short revenue boosts just to, you know, show that they're growing when in reality, it's not doing anything. So from my perspective, that would be, you know, the reason that we continue just go in the same cycle. And until we actually start to all shift our thoughts to being more proactive and thinking ahead and thinking of, and I hate to say be cynical, but you kind of have to be these days, thinking of all the worst case scenarios, we're still going to have this constant cycle of just playing catch up. And so that's one of the things too, from my perspective, is educating on how this stuff works so that people start to think, oh, this is connected to this. Well, maybe I need to think about that, you know, a little differently or long-term or from a proactive approach versus just this constant reactive type approach.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. When you plan, how many years you plan ahead? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 20, I don't know.
I would say that companies should have, you know, 5, 10, maybe 15-year goals, but that might be stretching a little bit at this point. But at least, you know, 1, 3, 5, 10 would probably be a good start. I would say that your 1, 3, and 5 should probably be more structured, but obviously keeping a little slack in there to adjust in case there's any changes in the market that you have to quickly pivot to. And then your 10-year plan, there should be a 10-year plan, but it should be, I like to use the phrase directionally correct, where you've got a direction you're headed, but you've got the ability to still have some wiggle room to adjust as needed.
Good, good. Benita, what is your favorite number in terms of planning? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years?
You know, in the last 3 years, I think I've learned that, you know, 1 year is stretching it. yeah, I mean, at the very beginning, I tried to have the 1 year, 5 year, 10 year. And wow, if I go back and look at that business plan, I bet you I have not adhered to any of that.
Okay.
But I would say that with that said, though, I think as you approach each like year mark, adjustments have to be made to subsequent year plans, right? And I think a lot of times, like, and it also, I would say, depends on the size of your business as well. You know, for people like me, or even, you know, like you, Jose or Benita, like if we're doing our own thing, yeah, our 1 year plan may be kind of all we can do at this point. Or we have, you know, our 3 year plan is kind of just directionally correct to be able to pivot. Like I don't think I'm planning out for 10 years at this point, because who knows, right? So, but, you know, like a larger company or, you know, small to medium size, you know, up through, you know, your Fortune Fives, they should definitely have plans that exceed, you know, greater. But yeah, I would definitely agree with Benita too. You know, like, honestly, my 5-year plan was busted 5 years ago. So.
Yeah, in the way that I do it, I have a vision, which is probably 10 years, in many cases it's been 15 years ahead, right? Then I have more detailed goals in a short time. I have multiple different goals, and of course that I have to be adjusted all the time based on everything that we experience, but I have a clear vision for at least 10 years all the time. And when I get close to those 10 years, then I project another 10 years ahead. Mm-hmm. It seems to be that that's working for me so far, and hopefully it's gonna work for me still. So, but that's only me. I'm not recommending that. The only thing that I'm saying is that it's working out for me. Now, I hear this from someone that definitely I would like to try to copy that. And it's always, because this is the value that probably is gonna resonate in the people that are listening or watching, right? When we are facing problems, which all of us, we at one point or other, I mean, we are gonna be facing any challenge. What exactly do we need to do when we are facing issues, when we are facing trouble? What would be that recommendation for people?
I would say to pause before reacting. Pause before reacting and try to get a big picture of what's going on, and kind of analyze the situation. You know, honestly, and I say this because I apply business principles into my personal life. There's not much of a difference between how I behave in my personal life and my professional life. And so, you know, I apply these same principles personally as well. It's risk management, right? It's stopping, assessing the situation, trying to get as much detail as you possibly can to then be able to formulate a big picture of how to come at the issue or come at the problem that you're facing. And like I said, that can be within business, that can be within life, that can be within anything.
Thank you. What do you think, I mean, Benita? The same question, I mean, what do you think that we can recommend to people when they are facing any challenge, what they should be doing, that you have experience doing it?
Yeah, I would say that the times that I've felt my most comfortable to handle any situation would be the times when, you know, I felt like I've had a really supportive community around me, and it can be like mentors, guides, peers, supportive friends and family, whoever it might be, for me to be able to turn to them and say, hey, I'm encountering this situation right now. What do you think?
Thank you.
Because I can stay in my own head a lot. So,
yeah, I feel that.
You can relate.
And this is fantastic because I'm going to pick up from every single comment, right? Casey says something about pausing. That's the reason why we have a happy hour, a coffee break. So definitely we can use that when we are experiencing any issue. We need to take a break. And then Benita says about the community that is around you, to reach out to that community. Well, the slogan of this particular podcast is, we are better together because we win together. So I just trying to be creative here, but.
But it's true though, because, you know, like collaboration in those trying times or when you're facing problems, that's how you come up with a solution to them. And if you don't have people, you know, who you can leverage or get sound advice from or get that guidance from, then you'll sit in your own head and you'll sit and try to spin your wheels until you're running up against the wall and not going anywhere.
and these two comments or these two principles applies not only for the personal, but also for a company experience, right? So it's the same route that we have to take when we experience any trouble, whether it's gonna be company-wise or personal-wise. It's the same route, right? Basically. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. I mean, I always learn all the time, and today I learned something that is going to be put it in practice. Let's say it like that. Now, because we are close to the top of the hour, Casey, you would like to have the last words and just tell us one more time why 828.
Why 828? Because I am motivated to solve problems and create efficiencies and want to truly help people to evolve and grow. So that way the industry is pushed forward. Individually is pushed forward, the business is pushed forward, and the industry is pushed forward.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, thank you for taking the time to spend a great hour with us today. Benita, would you like to have the last talk?
I'm really inspired by what Casey had to say today, so I'm going into the weekend on a good note.
Fantastic. So we need to remember that we are better together because we win together. So we are going to see everyone here next Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain. So ciao, ciao.